Hello, and welcome to Sounding Out with Izzy, the podcast where we have conversations with musicians, music producers, publicists, live promoters, zine makers, journalists, and more about their experiences working in the music industry as women, non-binary, and queer people. I'm your host, Isabel Korp, the founder of the queer femme music-based blog and YouTube channel, A Girl's Two Sound Sense. Today, I am joined by a returning all-star guest of the show, the one and only Girly, to talk about her new album, Matriarchy, coming out this spring. The last time I had Girly on the show was in 2021, so it was a joy to catch up with her. And she is a guest who clearly needs no introduction, so I will save you all the wait time. And without further ado, let's get right into this episode. So, I'm excited to have you here, and you might not remember this, but I actually had you on this show in 2021. So this is—
Oh my God, yes!
Triumphant.
I do remember.
Return.
Yes.
Really?
Oh my God, hell yes. We've come back. Wow, that was 3 years ago. That's scary.
That really is scary. Oh my God. What is time?
2021 to me is like, oh, like 2 years ago. But now it's like, no, it's now three. Ah, the passing of time.
It's crazy. So, something I've been trying to do more often on here is just a general check-in, because I've learned that people really appreciate that, just being asked. So how are you feeling?
Oh, that's so cute. I am feeling good. Yes, I'm in Los Angeles. I arrived like a few days ago to have a couple days just to like settle in and do some promo stuff before my tour starts tomorrow. Yeah, I mean, I think there's always a bit of trepidation before a tour starts. There's always this feeling of like, oh my God, I've been promoting this tour and the music online for so long. And then it's like, okay, and now here's the connection where it becomes like in the flesh, real people. And it sort of always feels a little bit unbelievable. So I'm always like, oh, no one's going to turn up. It's going to be an empty room. That's always how I feel before the first show. And then obviously I like click into tour mode and I'm like having the best time ever. But yeah, there's a little bit of like nervousness right now.
Yeah. So what are some, are you visiting any venues in the US that you have played at before, or is it all new territory this time around?
All new territory, all bigger venues, and some venues that, you know, I've like, are iconic, that I've, you know, always wanted to play, like the Troubadour in LA, Bowery Ballroom in New York, like venues that, you know, so many iconic artists have played at. So it's really exciting. But yeah, all new venues.
Yeah, Patti Smith recently did like a surprise gig at Bowery Ballroom.
Oh my God, that's sick.
Yeah, my friend who works there like just casually posted a story there, and I was like, you didn't tell me, friendship canceled.
Like, you saw Patti Smith and this was just not communicated. Yeah, amazing. Love Patti Smith.
So you've been independent for around like 4 to 5-ish years now. What has that journey in particular taught you as a business owner? And what are the biggest misconceptions that your journey has sort of busted for you over the years?
Ooh, I think definitely going independent and, you know, then being with an indie label and then taking back my touring, like my touring being all independent, which it wasn't before 2020. I think it's really busted the myth that like you need a major label, because that was a big thing that I always thought, you know, oh, you can't achieve anything with, you know, an indie, like you need to be on a major label. That's not true. But it's also, I think it's opened up, you know, this world where I'm like, wow, actually I could this is a fully self-sufficient thing. Like, and it's kind of made me feel a lot more like, you know, wow, I'm like living and just off my art. And, you know, it definitely, like you said, business owner. I don't think I felt like a business owner before I went independent. And then I realized like, well, yeah, that's what it is. Like, I'm a businesswoman, you know, I make music, and then I guess I sell the music in a sense. And then I play shows and like, and I build this world and this community. And like, that is my livelihood. And it just feels very empowering.
Yeah, I'm sure. And now you're coming around to releasing your sophomore album. And I'm a big believer that anything, everything in a person's creative journey happens at exactly the right time. So why do you believe now, in the year of our Lord 2024, was exactly the right time to unveil McGurley's sophomore effort?
I think honestly, I didn't have the confidence, or I guess the understanding of myself, to be able to like make a record this vulnerable and also like, I guess, this authentic and experimental, like sonically. And yeah, I mean, I think, to be honest, like you said, like everything kind of happens when it's meant to happen. And this album was definitely not at all pre-planned. Like, it just, I kind of feel like actually these songs were written because I kind of let go of that goal, or writing, you know, with a means to something. I was like, you know, I was really sick of this feeling of like, oh, like trying to find that thing that's going to click and you know, make me a megastar and write that hit song. I was like, I don't think I'm making the best art that I could be making because I'm going into the studio with that feeling. Like, what do I need to do to write a song that's going to be massive? And then I kind of just like let go of that and was like, I'm going to go in and write songs and probably won't release them. Like, that was my attitude, really. And I just thought, I just want to make music because I love making music. And then I came out with like these 14 songs. I mean, there were about 40, and then I got it down to 14 from this like 6 month period of just writing and writing and writing. And I think it's some of the best music I've ever made, really. And I think it's because I just sort of let go of all of the other bullshit, really.
Yeah, and that definitely shows. This album is cool because it feels like you're stepping into like a fresh lane while maintaining that exuberant sound and personality that made your music unique to begin with. Like, I hear elements of almost like ambient, some electro pop, even a little bit of like drum and bass. Do you want to walk me through like sort of the types of experiments that you feel like you conducted in the making of this album from a production standpoint and what that looked like?
Yeah, I mean, I worked with some amazing producers on this album, and I tried to not sort of have each song be a different producer. You know, I think there are maybe like 4 or 5 producers who worked on the album, and, you know, there are some where I worked with them on like 4 or 5 songs. And to be honest, I had this mentality of, I'm going to go in and I'm going to play songs that I love and different references that have absolutely no correlation with each other. I really like this music right now, and I like what these songs have done and how they've made me feel. And then this is the message I want to say. And lyrically, I'd say for me, like, I'm a writer, and writing, you know, prose was kind of the first thing, my first creative outlet, and then it became music, and that's, you know, how I kind of got where I am today. So for me, like, the lyrics are always the most important part of the song. And sonically, I just was like, here's some stuff I like, let's just make whatever and add the message on top, you know, add the lyrics on top. And most of the songs, I ended up walking out of the studio after making them and thinking like, wow, that sucked. Like, I hate that. Oh, well, it was fun to make it. And then I would come back like a month later to the demo and love it and feel like, oh my God, I like, how did I not realize at the time that this was such a great song? And I think it's just, it's like self-deprecation, it's overthinking, it kind of shows how our perception of things really change.
Yeah, and there's never a predictable method to the madness, as it were.
No. Oh my god, yeah, like never. And I think, sorry, I can't, there's some sort of noise. Yeah, no, and that's the thing. I think like some of the best things sort of happen, like, and you'll never be able to replicate what exactly happened there. It just did.
So I also understand that the subject matter of the album takes an inspiration from a culmination of various women and non-binary folks throughout history, from, like, we were just talking about Patti Smith to Marlena Dietrich, Marsha P. Johnson, and Riot Girl. Are there any, like, particular, well, I'm not sure if you can say this now since the album's, like, not out, so I won't ask the Easter egg question, but... But how would you say that all of these examples of powerful femme people throughout history have sort of inspired the way that you went into the creative process?
I think I was very inspired. I mean, the concept of the album being matriarchy, you know, for me, I think I realized around the time I was making this album that I really wanted to surround myself with women and non-binary folk and, you know, LGBTQ plus folk and their art, and honestly kind of just like reject like the male gaze, reject being in, you know, scenarios that I just didn't want to be in, surrounded by men, like, talking my ear off, and, you know, like, and that definitely used to be with my old label. It was all men, you know, on making the decisions. And I don't know, I think I just had this revelation where I was like, you know what, like, I want to make music with this feeling of freedom. And I was very inspired by the independence and freedom and expression of a lot of amazing, you know, women and non-binary folk from history. And like, for me, matriarchy means, yes, it's technical term, you know, technical definition is, oh, you know, a state headed up by a woman. But for me, the idea of matriarchy is actually a place where anyone who is fucked over by the patriarchy, anyone who can't thrive in the current, you know, patriarchy, matriarchy is like their place to be free and to feel accepted, and I guess, like, yeah, not repressed, allowed to express themselves however they want to. And so, yeah, for me, I was like, matriarchy, that concept was like, this album and my shows and my art, I want to be like a safe space for any of those people, you know, because writing these songs was a real safe space for me.
Yeah, for sure. And I feel like there's a lot of younger people who really need more of that sentiment expressed in what they consume.
Oh my god, definitely. And I don't know, I think what I realized, you know, about like the queer community, and then, you know, when women and sisterhood, you know, when women form community, and I realized like my music can be a community, you know, like my fans at the shows and online and in the Discord that I have. And, you know, music is a form of creating communities. So yeah, I think that's what I wanted to do with matriarchy.
Yeah. And the album opening with the song Be With Me, where you like explicitly express like, I just want to be with me, I love how it set the tone for the rest of the album, which also goes into songs where you're not quite as secure and do wrestle with the warring between like your past, present, and future identities. How did you get to the place of deciding that that had to be the opening statement of the album?
Yeah, so I think The opening statement of the album is Be With Me. The closing song is a song called Happier Her. And they're both songs that I wrote basically when I was like really in the midst of this healing, you know, feeling, this healing chapter in my life, I suppose. I was really looking inwards, and I was, you know, in therapy, and I was on medication that, you know, was right for me for the first time in ever. And I'd had a breakup, but I was really feeling how I was meeting myself for the first time after this. And, you know, that basically Be With Me, I wanted the album to open on I Think I Just Met My Future Wife, because I like how it immediately kind of tells you a lot about what the album is about. I mean, initially it sounds like, oh, she's talking about a love interest. This is a gay album, which it is. And then two, then realizing, oh, she's talking about herself. This is an album about self-acceptance and love. And that is also true. And, you know, even though a lot of the songs on the album are very depressing, I guess, I mean, not musically, they're all kind of like boppy, but, you know, the subject matter of a lot of them is, you know, feeling like shit about yourself and struggling through heartbreak and mental health and identity. But ultimately, I think it is a positive album. Like, I think it's a story of, I guess, coming into yourself. So yeah, that's why I wanted people to basically do a double take when they hear that first line.
Yeah, that's an interesting way of sort of reeling the listener in and then like flipping the expectations sort of on their head.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, which is, I guess, what I've always sort of tried to do in a way, is subvert expectation. Like with my name, Girly, you know, that was always something where I wanted people to immediately have assumptions hearing the name, and then those assumptions be challenged, and it make the person making those assumptions question themselves, you know. So yeah, we love subversion over here.
Yeah. And speaking of subversion and being vulnerable, I do remember like around 2 years ago when everyone on the internet, like for some odd reason, and still do to this day, they feel like it's customary to share their year-end roundups of all the incredible stuff that happened in their lives over the years. And you, at the end of the year in 2022, I believe, decided to post a short video of yourself that you were when you were having like a real low point that year.
Yeah.
I guess like in a culture where expressing vulnerability online can often get people, like especially women, admonished, like we saw that happen to Charlie XCX when she posted an Instagram story of herself crying. Seeing you just put that out there really felt like a radical act. How do you feel that type of willingness to express vulnerability has benefited you as a creative person and just as a person who is in the public eye?
Yeah, I think I definitely have always kind of worn my heart on my sleeve. And I think I was bullied and mocked a lot at school and as a teenager for being an emotional person and showing weakness, aka being vulnerable, with, you know, an open. And so I think for me, this, it's been really powerful to reclaim that and to be like, no, I am sensitive and emotional, and I'm reclaiming that. I'm proud to be that. And I think it's that, I guess, you know, yeah, that vulnerability and that authenticity is what has, you know, gained me a lot of fans and a lot of listeners, because I think people hear the music and then they also see my, I guess, my online presence and how honest I am on there. And I think they really connect with it. They relate to it. And it's kind of like mutual therapy. It's therapeutic for me to be, I guess, validated and feel like, oh, I have a platform where I can be open about my emotions and not admonished. And then, you know, people to see themselves in me and be like, oh, I feel that way, you know?
Yeah, for sure. And I feel like that's definitely something that's important to remind yourself of, especially like when fans might see that, like when Taylor Swift, the most famous person in the whole universe, who couldn't possibly like be dealing with any problems of her own, put out Anti-Hero, like a lot of her fans felt validated because they were like, wow, if even this person admits that she feels like a fraud at times and that she's not good enough, like I can't fault myself for having these low points either.
Oh my
And
God. Yeah.
yeah, so I feel like it's also like, yeah, like you said, it's like mutually therapeutic in a way.
100%. Yeah, 100%. I love that song so much.
And I'm also curious, are you like a person who saw a lot of movies in the past year?
In the past year,
Yeah.
yeah, I've seen a fair few films.
What were like your top three of 2023 of movies
Ooh.
that came out that year?
I loved Bottoms. That was such a great film. Like, obsessed with that film. I was like cackling the whole time. Loved that. I loved, well, love is a strong word. I liked Saltburn. I know that's like a bit controversial. A lot of people, it was kind of like a love-hate thing. I thought it was a really beautiful film. And obviously, I know everyone's just obsessed with Jacob Elordi, which same, but I think just the film itself was really beautiful. And then, yeah, what was another one that I saw? I did go to the cinema a lot. I love going to the cinema alone. It's like a big thing for me. That's like real self-love, like taking myself on a date to the cinema, having a good cry. Yeah, Bottoms and Saltburn is all that I can think of right now.
Yeah, I am so with you on Bottoms. I love that Emma Seligman's having a renaissance right now, a well-deserved renaissance.
So good. It's literally so good.
And I still like play that scene where Ayoade Debry just starts spiraling and is like talking
So good.
about marrying a gay pastor, and that's what her life's going to be reduced to. Like,
Yeah.
that's literally
Honestly, mood, biggest mood. We've all been there. We've all been there.
yeah. And yeah, Saltburn, I feel like it's so discoursed out of proportion that I don't even know what to think of it at this point. I'm just
Yeah.
like, I don't even wanna like room in it. Everybody's already thought every possible thought that could be expressed about this film, and every opinion is just like, whatever. I'm just gonna turn my brain off. So the time that I watched it was after I got really high at a friend's apartment at
Oh fuck,
an
wow. I
impromptu dinner party.
that would have been interesting, like an interesting watch. Inebriated, yeah. Because it
Yeah.
was trippy already sober, so
Yeah, for real. But yeah, do you like, speaking of like, I guess this is movie adjacent, like you've directed a few of your music videos, yeah?
I've co-directed, yeah. I mean, I've never directed on my own, probably because I think I would, not because I think I can't do it and I wouldn't want to do it, but I get so stressed. And I think directing a video is a tall order. So I've co-directed quite a few because, I pretty much always come up with the concepts for my music videos and then take it to a director I really love. And, we kind of develop the ideas and turn it into something, that eventually becomes the video. But I mean, I'm such a big collaborator. I love collaborating on my videos, on my music. I think for a long time I felt ashamed of that because there's this sort of big emphasis on like doing everything yourself kind of thing. And actually I'm independent. Like as a person, I'm very independent. I do a lot by myself. when it comes to my art, like I want to enjoy the collaborative process with that and with other people, and be inspired by other people's ideas as well. Because, like, you know, people have the most amazing ideas that I would never have thought of. So yeah, and I think collaborating has like elevated everything that I've made, really. So yeah.
Yeah. I don't know why this is so funny, but that just gave me a thought of like the recent video that H Bomber guy did on plagiarism.
I didn't see that.
But there's one point where he's like talking about how people are praising someone who was like a serial plagiarist, is saying, "I love when y'all talk about like Disney or whatever." And he's like, "It wasn't y'all, it was them-all."
Them-all.
But like circling back to what you said, it is important to remind yourself too that collaboration is so important, because it does take a village. There really is no such thing as DIY.
Oh my God, fully. Yeah, 100%. And I think it's really important to recognize that as well. I mean, for so long, like, songwriters in the music industry have been erased. You know, people will just assume that, you know, Rihanna has written every single one of her songs herself, which I fucking love Rihanna. She's a bad bitch, but she's had so many people write her songs with her, and they deserve recognition too, you know. Same with Justin Bieber, with any big artist, you know. There's so many people behind the music, the videos, and it's like, it doesn't take away from the main artist that other people were involved, you know. It's important to like shout out everyone.
Yeah, for real. Have you seen the movie 20 Feet from Stardom?
I have not.
It's a documentary that centers on background singers who have been prolific throughout the industry and sung for like all the superstars like Springsteen, Bowie, and et cetera, et cetera. But there's one interesting segment about Darlene Love, who was part of a background vocal group called The Blossoms. She's now famous for making like all her Christmas music and stuff like that, like Baby Christmas Baby Please Come Home is a bop and I love it, but I don't think she gets enough credit for like literally, like, for a while she was ghosting for a lot of girl groups in the studio. And she was the main vocalist on The Crystals' He's a Rebel and He's Sure the Boy I Love. And
so, like, it was like, it was her voice?
It was her voice, yeah.
What? Oh my God.
But yeah, like, it's truly like, so, there's so many layers to this whole like thing and the amount of people that it takes to create something. It's a great film, strong recommend.
I'll watch it. It's going to be on my list.
So my final question is, what does the rest of the year have in store for you?
I love this question because I change my answer each time. I'm like, well, there's this and this. So no, that's not true. I don't change it every time. I just like choose which things I have to highlight, because amazingly, I'm so lucky. There's so much coming up and I'm so stoked. But the main thing is that my album's coming out, Matriarchy. So that comes out in May. I have this US and Canada tour, like the Matriarchy tour, which is going to the US, Canada. It's going to Australia, which is so exciting. And then Europe and UK. And yeah, I'll just be like gigging my little socks off, which I'm really excited about. And then making more music, really, but mostly just playing shows. And, you know, there's another song to come out from the album before the full album comes out, which is like probably my second favorite song on the record. Although, to be honest, every time someone asks me, what's your favorite song on the album, it changes like every time. But yeah, I mean, it's funny because the album's coming out in May, and so I have this thing where I like, sorry, I'm really longing out this answer, but, and if you'll entertain it, I'll carry on. I have this thing where I can't really listen to my own music after it's been released. I love playing it live. I don't get bored of that ever. I love that. But before a song comes out, I'll listen to the demo in the car, you know, on commute, like, anywhere. Like I'll just have it on loop, and I've listened to this record so many times all the way through. And so I'm kind of just trying to listen to it as much as possible before it comes around to May, because I think once it's out, I probably won't listen to it anymore. I think it's kind of like it belongs to everyone else, and my relationship to it changes. I don't love it less. I guess it becomes something that's like, okay, now it's for the fans kind of thing. But yeah, that was a very long way of saying my album's coming out in May, and that is the main thing.
Exciting. Well, Millie, thank you so much for coming on the show once again.
Amazing. Thank you so much. It was so great to chat again.
Of course, likewise. Thank you so much for listening to Sounding Out with Izzy, and thank you again to Girly for joining me for this episode.
Remember to subscribe and sign up for the mailing list on my YouTube channel and written blog, both under the name A Girl's Two Sound Sense. Give the podcast a 5-star rating and review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. Thank you so much for listening, and I will catch you in the next episode of Sounding Out with Izzy.